If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Many of you know that I love my father. He was a good man, hardworking man, a butcher, an immigrant, fought the communists in Greece and the Nazis. And I have memories of working with him in the butcher shop, the meat hanging on the hooks, wheeled in from the trucks on a hot June and July day. And someone's making sausage, you cutting the pork loins and mixing in the spices. And the neighborhood ladies, the griets, the old ladies looking at me, the Polish ones saying, "Czarnina, boy, czarnina." Because I used to bring the czarnina, the duck's blood, in on trays to them, and they would reach out for it because they wanted the first czarnina. It was a little game you played with the customers. I loved them. I loved working with them. I've told you many stories about them, and I'll tell you some more. But in the last few years, as I've been doing another job, I don't work in a butcher shop, but I found one that makes excellent sausage. And I mean excellent, I mean superb. It's Joseph's Finest Meats. I drive a lot of distance, or my wife does now because I don't drive. We drive an hour and a half to 2 hours from Indiana all the way to the northwest side of the city to get the sausage from Joseph's Finest Meats. And they make history today because Salvatore Camarda and his family have joined us as our first sponsors. And our guest today is Salvatore Camarda, second generation butcher, representing the family business, and his brother Ben, who makes the excellent sausage. I love it. I go there when I go. I love going there, and I love having that little loaf of bread, focaccia bread with a tomato. And you can meet us there next week at the Sicilian Fest. Jeff Carlin is always here, executive producer, WGN Radio. And me, I'm John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And where are you? As Sal, Camarda, and Ben are in the butcher shop making some great sausage for you, for your grilling pleasure. This summer, you're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Let me ask you this. How many butcher shops do I pass when I try to go get sausage? I'm in Indiana now, so the whole South Side, all the butcher shops on the South Side, all the butcher shops on the West Side, I keep going to the north side, to the northwest side, to two blocks east of Harlem on Addison, and I find Joseph's Finest Meats. I don't know. I can't explain how I started going there. Maybe our guest can explain to me. Maybe he knows the roots of it. But it is the finest sausage I've ever had. Well, okay, I have to qualify. My father made excellent sausage at our place in Gage Park, and this comes the closest I ever had to that feeling of quality. Welcome to the Chicago Way podcast, Sal.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me on our favorite podcast.
Salvatore Camarda, one of the brothers at Joseph's Finest Meats.
That is right. Yeah, it's myself and my brother Ben. Old school butcher shop, been around since 1977. Just as you said, on Addison Street, about three streets east of Harlem Avenue.
And Sal, you said it's a family business, you and your brother, and it's got legs. You guys have been around since 1977. What's the backstory there? I mean, I assume you got an old world father or a grandfather in the pipeline there that brought in the recipes, if I know anything about the industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you are correct. So my father, Joseph, who came from Sicily in 1951, eventually opening Joseph's Finest Meats in 1977. Him and my mom started the business with three kids plus a newborn and a mortgage, and they just decided to kind of throw caution to the wind and open up a butcher shop.
How's your father feeling?
He's doing great. 92 years old. He's still a firecracker. And, I was just telling Jeff that, he occasionally comes into the shop, not so much to work anymore, but just to make everyone nervous.
When he shows up in the shop, I remember when my father came in the back room in the butcher shop, production would go up 40%. Everyone, all the jokes, the butcher jokes would end. Everyone snapped too. Is that how it is with your father? I got a feeling.
Actually, it's almost the opposite because really? Like everyone has to come say hello, give him a hug.
Yeah.
And then he's the one that tells the butcher jokes. So,
why do you land on butcher and doing this and trying to, compile this? Was it a family thing? I mean, is this something that they've been doing for generations?
So it's kind of an interesting story. My father came here when he was 18 years old, post World War II. Sicily, the island of Sicily was pretty decimated.
Poverty.
There wasn't a lot of opportunities. My grandfather, who I believe had four kids at the time and another one on the way, they knew that the opportunities were slim. My grandfather actually had a pasta factory in our town of Altavilla Milicia, which is just outside of Palermo. Mm-hmm. When they came to the United States, they first stopped in New York, where my father's uncle actually had a couple of butcher shops in the Manhattan area. So it kind of, was it in our family? Yeah, I would say on our father's side of the family, butchering was a thing. And then I would say that with my... the butchering was really heavy or dominant in my mother's side because my grandfather was a butcher.
All right.
So let's talk about two things that I want to get to without forgetting them. Number one, you've got a Sicilian fest coming up, and I want to talk about that. So tell us about that, because I've got a young lady from Monte Maggiore, Sicily. There are families from there. And I've been married to her for 39 years, the lovely Sicilian Betty Cass. So tell us about the Sicilian Fest.
We're calling it Sicilian Summer Block Party. It's actually a new concept that we so the organization called ARSA, it's Associazione Regionale Siciliana in America. Basically, it's a Congress of Sicilian organizations, one of my organizations included Maria Santissima Laureatana Society, but basically they wanted to do this just kind of, fun day of, bringing out, the classic Sicilian street fair and some live music. And, we just decided, hey, why not? Let's, we're going to shut the street down next to the butcher shop here on Nordica Avenue by Addison and just have an afternoon of fun, food, and entertainment.
That's a lot of work the day before at the butcher shop to make all the sausage. I mean, I can imagine.
I agree, especially leading up to the 4th of July, which is a huge holiday for us. But, my father was always community oriented, whether it was the butcher shop, whether it was the Italian community. He was very, very involved. He was president and still is president of one of the largest Sicilian organizations in the city. And it's something that we take a lot of pride in, kind of carrying on that tradition.
So let's go over the dates. When does it happen and what time?
So that event is June 29th.
I'll be there.
It's the Sunday. And it is from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m.
What kind of music? Is there going to be some Sicilian rap or what?
No. It's,
I love that Sicilian rap stuff. No?
John has a soft spot for it. It's his favorite soccer music, football music.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Right. Definitely.
So we are actually bringing a group called Calandra Calandro. They're actually a... two brothers from Sicily that they do covers of old Sicilian songs, but kind of like acoustic versions, like almost like coffee house folk type of acoustic.
Okay.
So that's one. We've got a couple of other. We've got DJ Alex. We've got a few other possible street entertainers that are going to be joining
sure.
us as well.
And so it's going to be your classic, you know, community. Let's share a meal, have some music, and celebrate the summer. I get it. I
exactly.
Love it.
So yeah, we're kind of it's almost like a little summer kickoff, for lack of better terms. But what we're kind of painting a redrawing of, if you've ever been to Sicily, you've heard of areas called Avuceria or Ballarò. Those are like Sicilian street markets, you know, outdoor mm-hmm. markets. And we're right. kind of trying to bring that feel to Chicago.
Okay, then what are we going to eat at the Sicilian Fest?
Anytime you come by between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. You can even eat multiple times.
I will. I'll be the guy that starts at the line and comes back around. But what are we going to eat there?
We're going to have everything, obviously, Sicilian style sausage. We're going to have pane panelli, which is a very traditional Sicilian street food made out of fried chickpea flour. Spinchone, cool. which is like a Sicilian pizza, I guess you would say.
Uh-huh.
People that know what spinchone is are going to hate me for saying that. But we're going to have arancini, which are really fried rice balls. We've got gelato. We've got all cannoli, which is a Sicilian dessert, actually originated from Sicily. And, you know, a lot of other things as well.
And this is a labor of love. I can tell you know, you just seen, you know, you've got your brother, you taking over of the family, the family business. And it's different. I mean, it's not, you know, people, nobody really knows anymore. I don't feel the people that who don't know you, they go to the grocery store, you know, wherever, and they get stuff and it doesn't have the same love in it. It's coming off of a big truck somewhere. It's coming off of a, you know, a supplier that's hundreds, if not more miles away, but you guys do it old school, old world style. You've got these relationships with the suppliers. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us how that has kind of impacted you guys and kind of dictated kind of what you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, it's decades of, and starting with my father, cultivating relationships with ranchers, farmers, different, you know, producers of beef, pork, lamb, you name it. You know, one thing that we, and, you know, we hear this a lot when people walk in, they'll look at our counters and be like, wow, this looks way better than a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because everything's clean. Everything's natural. We don't deal with food dyes, preservatives, fillers, any of that stuff. You will never find an ounce of that anywhere near here because we do not believe in that. We've never believed in that. You know, we cut to order. We're one of the few places left that still deal with swing cattle, which is essentially, you know, beef hanging on hooks in the cooler, yeah. dry aging. We have a walk-in dry aging cooler. So it is a different operation than what, first of all, you know, good luck finding a butcher in a grocery store. They don't right. really exist that much. Most people don't know how to break cattle. Mm-hmm. Let alone pork or lamb or anything like that. So it's, you know, we take a lot of pride in what we do and how we do it. Yes, it's hard work. Yes, it's manual labor. But at the end of the day, you're going to get a much better quality output from it. And that's something, like I said, that we've built on years of working with our suppliers, you know, whether it's, you know, our beef ranchers or, you know, our pork producers, even our turkey farms. So it's something that we take a lot of pride in.
And there's irony in that because, you know, we live in this time where everyone's like, oh, preservatives are bad, or I want to do this, or I want to, you know, I want to have, you know, farm to table is super hot and all that. And yet places like yours, you know, people don't realize why you're there. I mean, the idea is that it's right there. This is the best of the best. You're not going to get a steak from you guys and have it be red and pink 4 or 5 days later. It's cut it. Let's eat it. Let's get going. Let's get sausage. And I know John wants to get to this, but what's the tip? What's the magic behind your sausage? Cause John raves about it. I can't tell you how much he tells me about it all the time.
It starts with ingredients. I mean, it's all high quality heritage breed pork. You know, that's something that we do not skimp on because, listen, we've set a high bar for ourselves over the years. And, you know, it's all about making sure that, you know, it's all pure natural ingredients. So there's no nitrites, no preservatives, no fillers, none of that stuff. It's, you know, I tell customers, you know, when you're eating things like either the sausage or hamburger patties that we make or the ground beef.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, when they go to like restaurants or, you know, grocery stores, they'll eat that stuff and afterwards they feel bloated.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fillers. You know, you're not supposed to feel that way when you eat quality stuff that's all natural.
Well, one thing I've noticed is the reason why you're able to do this, besides your expertise in this area and how butchering and quality meats and from the hog farmers to the table, is the fact that your customers.
Oh yeah, the best.
You know, we had a store. My father. People know this, I noticed when I walk in, when I see the customers looking at the cuts and asking questions, I'm like, oh, these people know what they're doing. They know what these women and men who are asking for this cut or that cut or the size of the pork that they want in the stew, all that, they know what they're doing. And I think that the brilliance of the customers adds to the that sharpens the steel of the butcher shop, doesn't it?
I agree. You know, I mean, the fact that, I mean, first of all, we have amazing customers. I mean, they're extremely supportive of us. They've always been in our corner, and a lot of them have become like family. It's really, I mean, it really just boils down to that. But I will say that a lot of it has to do with the shopping experience here compared to, say, like a grocery store. The fact of the matter is, you know, you're not just grabbing and going. You know, when you come to a place like ours, it's a very curated experience, meaning as soon as you walk in, you pair up with a butcher and they take you through the whole experience. So whether you're somebody that knows exactly what they want, or somebody that comes in that's like, hey, I had a lady yesterday that came in and said, I've never been in a butcher shop before.
Wow.
So you walk her through the experience. You explain to her what everything is and, you know, what you try to kind of find out what it is that they like. You know, are they more of a poultry person? Are they more of a red meat person? Are they more of a pork person?
When do you tell them about the imported provolone? That's the sharp provolone. That's a killer.
That's about, I'd say, two-thirds into the tour.
All right, so let's talk about what are your tips, because we're coming off Father's Day, but what are your tips for summer grilling of Italian sausage?
Well, I would say, obviously, quality first. Wherever you're getting it from, make sure it's quality.
You got to get it from one place. I mean,
I'm biased, but
tell them John Cass sent you.
You tell them exactly that John Cass sent you over. And I would say, you know, sausage is one of those things when you're grilling it. It's, you know, it depends on is it coals, is it gas grill. Me personally, I'm a charcoal guy. I've always been a guy. I have a gas grill that's sitting in my backyard, got it 7 years ago, and I think I used it twice. So
it's good for putting stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great table.
Yeah.
You know, the key is to not overcook it, just like any other piece
of meat. How about going off the heat first?
Oh,
take
yeah.
the sausage, don't put it directly. People say they pour a big chunk of coals and they
don't spread the coals.
Yeah, spread the coal, make a two-zone fire. Okay.
Yep.
In the cold zone, that's where you put the sausage.
That's exactly it.
And then close the lid with maybe a chunk of apple wood or cherry, and then let it cook.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
And then at the end, put it towards the fire a little bit, but you don't want to break Sal and his brother have been working so hard to impress on their people not to break the casings.
That is true.
Because you lose the juiciness of the sausage.
Right.
So don't put them over the heat, right?
I agree. Listen, there's a reason why every good griller out there will tell you have to have those zones on your grill, because in case of a flare-up, you got to be able to move sausage around or any whatever meat you're grilling. I'm used to grilling, especially for large crowds, because we do quite a few festivals. We've got our big one, Labor Day weekend, which is our 125th anniversary, the largest Italian festival in the state of Illinois. It's called the Maria S.S. Laurentana Society Festival. So it's basically the most people in Chicago know it as the feast with the flying angels.
Yeah.
But that's something that, I mean, we're cooking for tens of thousands of people at that point. And it's absolutely. My grill guys know, set up your zones, make sure that you're using your fire protection as far as like your fire rated gloves and aprons, and have a big bottle of water or whatever it is that you're staying hydrated with,
and a cold wet towel on the back of your neck just to keep
absolutely.
because even though a good wine tastes good with the sausage, it's not good with the cook in July and the heat.
It's 90 degrees and you're in front of a 300 degree firebox. It's probably not a good idea.
Definitely. I love it. Well, Sal, it's been awesome. And we're excited that you guys are over there at Joseph's Finest Meats, our first official sponsor here at John Cass News and the Chicago Way. And it's awesome to have you guys aboard, because if anybody has followed the story of John and his family and the project we worked on late last year with his father, it's all about the family business, all about doing what's good for the customer, good for the family, and making it the best experience and the best quality. Because that's the thing, people complain all the time about, I can never get back to the roots or back to the basic or old school. And like, these places exist, and Joseph's Finest Meats is one of the finest, pardon my pun, examples of that in the city.
They want quality, but then they go for the, I get it for 3 cents cheaper over here. You know what I used to love when I was a kid? The guy who'd come in and look at me and say, I want a half a pound of this, half a pound of that. And I'd say, well, I've sliced it. It's a little over, sir. That's okay. It wasn't because we were making the money. It was because he was happy with what we were doing.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that's the feeling of to serve your people, to serve a meal, to serve a meal to your friends and family. That's the happiness in your heart. And that's why I love cooking. Huh?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's, look, you're nourishing your family. You're nourishing your loved ones. You're nourishing yourself. You're putting it in your body. I think that with social media and everything out there, and like the awareness that people have now of diet and quality quality foods, I think you are seeing that resurgence. I mean, I'm noticing a lot more younger couples coming in here, or even younger kids in their early 20s that are coming in, and they're buying stuff because they've educated themselves online. They're seeing that, hey, I have to eat, I have to eat. Sure, I may spend a little bit more than going to another place that's going to have it, on sale, but that thing's going to be loaded with preservatives, loaded with food dyes,
exactly,
loaded with all types of chemicals. And you know, people are starting to realize this. You know, are you really going to gamble with your health at that point?
Listen, I want everyone to know who's listening to this, that I've been going to this butcher shop for 20 years. They've never asked me for anything. I've asked them to be sponsors. And I would not have them as sponsors if I didn't believe in the product.
Yeah.
The product is outstanding. And if you go and order some sausage, some breakfast sausage, I would go with the hot Italian sausage, but you do what you want. It's your life. And my feeling is you will not be disappointed in the quality of the work and the meat. Whenever I go, there's always a little piece of a loaf of tomato bread on top of the counter. The
focaccia,
I have to grab it.
The focaccia, yeah.
I have to have it, you know.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and, you know, pick up quality. You know, people always talk about, you hit earlier, you feel off, you feel bloated, you feel all this. That's because the stuff you're getting is more about sales. It's more about selling. It's not about quality. And these guys do quality.
Yeah.
Your brother says when I leave, he says, are you taking that bread for the ride home? I go, yeah, but it won't be full when I get back. And I get back home.
Yeah, that don't feel bad. I never make it. I never make it anywhere with focaccia bread in the car with it, with a full bag.
That's called the daddy loaf. You know, daddy went to the store.
That's fantastic. I love it, Sal.
Well, listen, I just want to also say, you know, look, we're also really excited to be a part of this. You know, it's for us. We're big fans of John and Jeff and the show. I what you guys do, you know. And the topics that you guys cover, we love our city. All right, I'm born and raised on the Northwest Side, and my family came here without a whole lot of anything and made a wonderful business here and wonderful lives. And that's a testament to the place that we came to, and you know the fact that you guys are doing what you do, covering the topics that you cover, and really, you know, are looking out for Chicago, for our beloved city. I think that this is, you know, for us, this was a no-brainer to do.
Thank you, Salvatore.
Yeah, thanks, yeah.
And we appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Salvatore Camarda, Joseph's Finest Meat. Say hi to your brother, Ben. And
I will.
All the guys in the butcher shop, and I just love going there, man. I just love I have no butcher shops. I've been to many, and I have friends who run other butcher shops, and they're like, why don't you like our sausage? And I'm like, it's not that I don't like your sausage. I love their sausage, Joseph's Finest Meats. Why? Because it's tasty. How do you make it tasty?
That's an old school family recipe, John. That was my father, my mother, and my grandmother all, you know, really just kind of taking the family recipe, and obviously my brother building on top of it. And I think that, you know, we just have a solid recipe, and that comes from high quality product.
My hat off tips to you and Ben for the Greek sausage that you can get there too, because it's one thing to get Greek sausage for Easter, but when it's frozen, it's not the same. And having it fresh from Joseph's Finest Meats is a blessing. So thanks, yeah. Sal. And
we'll see you the 29th. We'll be out there. John and I will be out there for sure. Come on out and meet and greet.
Excellent. I'll make sure to, I'll try to get my dad here. Hopefully you guys can have a chit chat with him too.
That'd be awesome.
You'll know us by our hats.
No chumbalones.
No chumbalones, buddy.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll get you Joseph's Finest Meats shirt, and hopefully you get me one of those no chumbalone hats.
There you
make
go.
Sure to wear, I'll make sure to wear it behind the counter.
Thanks, buddy.
Fantastic. Thanks, Sal.
Nice talking to you.
Have a great day.
See you.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page 2, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com, a place where common sense is still served daily.
Listen up. You like being treated as a chumbalone, as a fool, sitting on a stool, smiling wanly, at the sky?
Don't be a chum alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I'm John Cass, 40 years a newspaper man in Chicago. I won't name the place. It's just the paper now.
That's the Chicago way.
But I'm asking you to join me so you can get a decent cup of common sense, at least. You're not going to get it from the media. It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Don't get caught in the parade of chumalones.
Traditional media, mainstream media like the paper, they're all in on it. They think you're stupid. You know what they think? They think you're a chumbalone.
Subscribe at johncassnews.com now for only $50 a year and become a member of the No Chumbalone Zone.
You know, Sal was great. I love to talk to him about butcher shops. I could sit and talk butchering all day with him. But that's not the meat of what we're doing. That's not even the bones. There are two things we have to get to. Number one, real topics, other topics. Israel attacked Iran to blow up their nuclear capabilities, killing their nuclear scientists, decimating their high command, the Iranian military's high command. I can see some people in MAGA world, like Tucker Carlson and others, who are upset. And obviously the Democrats are upset because they wouldn't even support an anti-Semitism resolution in Congress. What do you think of this, Jeff?
I'm no expert, so obviously take that with a grain of salt, but you're right. I mean, there's no doubt that if, and on a whim, if Iran had the capability in a nuclear sense to wipe Israel off the map, they wouldn't hesitate. I mean, we've been seeing what they've been doing around the world in supporting radical groups to do terrible things.
Error.
And it's something that is, you know, destabilized plenty of peace processes, plenty of efforts to try to stabilize the world and make things kind of work. And yeah, sure, there's a history of the U.S. doing similar things. But the big difference there is that they weren't paying people to go into other countries and rape and murder children and film it and show it to their families and force families to watch it happen in real time. There wasn't this level of just pure evil that comes out of that regime. And I don't think war is great, obviously. There's a lot of people are going to, you know, die. A lot of people, pain and misery is going to happen.
Iranians and Jews. And others in Israel.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. But there's certainly a time when us as humanity have to kind of stand up against what's, you know, evil's happening. And that's not to say that, you know, Israel is not a perfect saint in this situation too. There's plenty of stories about, you know, IDF doing things that are, you know, questionable at best. But I think at the end of the day, if you weigh them out on a scale, I think it tips heavily in Israel's favor to protect themselves and doing standing on the side of what you got to believe is hopefully a net positive for the world at large.
To me, it's very simple. And regardless of what Ben Rhodes and the Obamaites scream about, they're the ones who tried to give Iran the nuclear weapon. They allowed it. They paid the Iranians with their own money to continue to develop the nuclear weapon. And it was clear from the beginning, and especially after October 7th of the year before, when Hamas, which is paid by Iran, slaughtered all those people, all those Jews, all those Israelis, raping them, killing the children, throwing them in ovens, for God's sakes, babies. You knew that if you start like that, there's no ending. There's no way to end it. The only way to end it is the way they're doing it now. And I don't like, there's a lot of problems I have with Bibi Netanyahu, but sure, he has to save his country because no one else will. No one else will save you. Just like no one will save us if we allow the Democrats to convince us that we should not support law enforcement, that we should not enforce our borders, will anyone else save us if we don't save ourselves? No. You want to teach the world to sing and sit up on a hill and love everyone like some mamas and papas song? Okay. But it's now, we're now in the summer of love 2.0.
Well, to be fair, John, the border situation has been a hot potato for my whole life, and at both sides of, you know, Bushes, the Clintons, have always played the game with
the establishment Republicans wanted cheap labor.
Right. Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
The Democrats, to their credit, once used to talk about immigration as a way to attack the working class.
Yeah.
Because of the foundations, and they would undercut the working class paycheck.
Right.
But what do we see now? What have we seen for the last 10 years? 20 million illegals here. Many of them, not all of them, hardworking many, but also included in that number, criminals.
Yeah.
And bad desperados. Yeah.
Yep. And it's a travesty that people are human beings and that they're running from things or whatever. But, you know, those are problems that could be fixed other ways. Those are problems that could be, you know, channeled. I mean, we're the most intuitive and ingenious countries in known existence. And yet it comes down to, you know, he said, she said, this, we're going to make it for our own benefit. Oh my God, you know, we need to secure the border. My whole life they've been saying that. And I feel like we could have done that, but between the last 40 some years and now it's gotten incredibly out of control, and there had to be a swing back the other way, and people are surprised, and it's like, oh my God, you know, I get it. You come to this country, you want to get here because it's a land of opportunity. But there's a risk involved if you're coming here illegally. And that risk is someday your card might be punched to go back where you came from. That's the reality of it. And so if that's happening, then we have to figure out, you know, if why that was happening. And we know why, because like you said, politics was played with this whole idea of, oh, the border and whatever. It's maddening to think that this is something we created, the establishment created, and now is being tried to fix by, you know, Trump, who was outside the establishment, and then the establishment is like, oh my God, you're breaking our plaything. You know, oh my God, you know, rally the masses. And come on, this isn't about people and families. This is about politics you're playing. It could have been fixed. You wanted it to be fixed. You could have had it fixed decades ago.
They should have put E-Verify in place decades ago and penalized employers for hiring illegals, but they didn't because Tyson Foods and all those other big chicken processors and the meat cutters. I mean, I spent a good portion of my life cutting meat. I know it's not a fun job, really. It's not. We talked to Sal, but I mean, it's not creative, not in that sense when you're working in a factory.
Monotonous and
it's tough,
right? And it's a charade. It's, you know, we had the DACA program is what sell, you know, the quote DACA program. It's 20 years old, something like that. And it's a great idea. But if nobody, there was no follow through, there was no, you know, push this to make this happen. I'm sure you could have sold 30, 40 years ago, hey, you know, it's been too long. We've made things go the wrong way. Let's fix that. Let's secure the borders. And we'd be in a much better place we are now. We wouldn't have this weird, you know, masked ICE agents storming places or going into places and finding people. But you know what? That's the kind of the reality that was created by people letting the establishment hold the wheel.
These issues, whether it's the Iranian nuclear program, the Democrats and their Summer of Love 2.0, all this can be considered when you're building a two-zone fire in your backyard on your grill. One side has coals on it. The other side has no coals. And you start the sausage in the cold zone and close the lid. And you cook the sausage not as a direct heat, but as in the oven that you're fashioning with your Weber kettle. And that's the way to do it. I'm just saying. So for Salvador Camarda of Joseph's Finest Meats, my go-to place for sausage. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, my friend, married to the lovely Christine, master of pies, friend to cats. And for me, John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com, the best Father's Day gift around. Even if you're late, just give your dad a gift subscription, $50 a year, for some good Midwestern common sense. Thanks for joining us on the Chicago Way podcast. Talk to you again next time on WGN Plus.